welcome back to another Shared Brewing episode, a little podcast for you today. My name is Tyler, and I'm joined together with my good friend and co-host, Joel.
Mate, how are you?
Good, I'm good. Very caffeinated as always.
Always.
A little bit too much today. We were a bit scared. Yeah. We were going over the brink there. Maybe we should put some breakfast into the schedule.
Yeah, make sure we've got a bit of toast to soak up that caffeine.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to have to get a toaster for the studio.
Yeah.
So, today we're back to have some fun again. And we're going to be talking about how to start brewing at home and sort of a little bit more about what equipment you can start off with, how to get into it. It's maybe not as, you know, costly as you might think. A lot of the time it can be perceived as quite a difficult hobby to get into.
Yeah. But, like, yeah. I guess a bit more sort of like scary too, to jump straight into it. Because you'll probably find you do have some form of brewing equipment at home that you can use. Like, for example, a French press. A lot of people have that just sitting in their cupboard. It's a great brewing method, very cost effective. You can even pick one up for $20, and all you need is a bag of beans and away you go.
That is good to know.
Kettle, obviously.
Yeah.
If your house doesn't have a kettle, I'm asking questions.
But then also, you know,
you've got a pot water, pan, all good.
Yeah, if you've got a stove
You know. Yeah. If you don't have a kitchen, maybe get a kitchen first.
Maybe get a kitchen. But my tap actually has the most extreme hot water I've ever seen. So yeah, probably hotter than my kettle. So I can get away with it sometimes.
Yeah. You just pour straight from the tap.
Straight from the tap into my V60.
You've got a billy system straight in your house.
Oh, I love it. So, first off, let's start off with maybe some of the common methods that we might find at home. You mentioned French press, and that is one that I've seen in a lot of people's homes. Like, it's kind of a staple growing up that I've seen around a lot. I'm pretty sure that as soon as my sister moved out, I remember her getting a French press as the first thing she bought.
Yeah.
And, you know, not even being super into coffee or anything, but it's an easy item to find around home.
Yeah. And to be fair, a lot of people think that method isn't really associated with brewing good coffee. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got really high quality coffee in a brew method, you can brew really tasty coffee.
That's it.
And you know, it doesn't matter what device you're using. If you've got high quality specialty coffee, bang, you can make some delicious coffee at home.
That's it. And we'll touch on some of the beans and stuff like that and how to pick up the best beans for what you're brewing a bit later in the episode. But what are some other brewing methods that you find are really easy to start off with, and what would you recommend to your friends or family if they wanted to get into it?
Hands down, definitely the French press, as we've just spoken about. Then I'd probably look at more sort of towards an AeroPress. Really cost effective as well. I think it's $60 or so,
even less. I think $40 now they go for.
And you know, that pack comes with everything you need. Comes with the spoon. You can use that as a guide to dose your coffee. Comes with little measuring symbols on the side. You can brew it many different ways. You know, there's not one way to brew it. You've got paper filters in there. You're pretty much ready to go with that brew method. It's pretty very accessible. Then after that, a lot of people do have espresso machines at home. Mm-hmm. Espresso machines are, you can get quite cheap espresso machines for, espresso-based coffee. I definitely think French press, AeroPress.
Good ways to start off.
Yeah.
And I guess, can you give us a breakdown maybe of what makes those methods easy? How do they actually brew? So we'll start off with French press. What's the process? We've all seen a French press, but maybe it's good to work through that process and actually understand it a bit more on why does it brew like that? Or how is it actually immersing coffee or the water into the coffee and brewing?
Yeah. I mean, simply put, it is, you're literally putting ground coffee, water, steeping it, and then filtering the coffee granules, and then pouring into a cup.
It's a bit like tea in that way as well.
It's very much like a teapot.
Yeah, that makes it very easy to understand, because we all know how a tea bag works. It kind of, you put it in the water for a while, then you can take it out or you can pull it to the side and you can drink the perfectly clean tea.
And that's it. The longer you brew it, the more solids you're getting in the cup. The finer you do it, you obviously don't want to go too fine, because the metal filter on most of them aren't very fine. So, longer you brew it, more solids in the cup, more of that sort of strength flavor that a lot of people sort of talk about. I like a strong coffee.
Yeah.
So pretty much to brew a stronger cup, you fine up the grind, because when you've got smaller particle sizes, more solids are in that liquid. So same thing, brew it for longer, you're getting more solids. There is the chance of over-extraction and you start to get those sort of like over-extracted flavors coming through. But, you know, if you're someone that likes that sort of strengthier beverage, you can steep it longer and then do it that. And that's why it's so accessible, because you just, you can't really do anything else other than coffee, water, plunge, and time, brewing time.
Yeah.
That, and then you just pour into a cup
or perfect. Drink it straight. Yeah, and you've got no risk there of like getting the grounds in there or anything.
Yeah.
And then how does that differ to the AeroPress, and where does that kind of change? Because I guess it is a similar method, which is cool, but I guess the AeroPress uses a pocket of air to push the coffee down.
Yeah, so it's like a big syringe.
Yeah.
So I use the inverted method. I think that's probably the easiest way to use an AeroPress. You literally stick it upside down so it looks like a upside down syringe. Pour your coffee in, put your coffee in, pour your water in, and then you can either weigh it out, which is, you know, a good way of eliminating certain variables because it's creating consistent brewing method. So you weigh out your coffee, you weigh out your water, do it that way. Or you just use the spoon that's given, use that same amount, use the water indicators on the side of the AeroPress. I think it's got like 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yep.
And then you just, same thing, steep it for as long as you want or to the flavor profile that you want, turn it upside down, push it onto the cup. Cool. You've got extracted coffee, and it's got the paper filter in there. You can get metal filters as well, so you don't have to keep buying paper filters. You can just, you know, wash it, reuse it. I guess it's more of a sustainable method too.
Definitely,
People do, you know, prefer the paper filter or the metal filter. You know, there is a bit of like a debate around that,
but
that's starting to get more sort of like
each that. To their own, really, yeah, in exactly. that case. It's all preference. About experimentation.
That's right. Yep. So I definitely think those two brew methods are the most sort of accessible.
Cool.
AeroPress, it can seem a little bit scary because you're just like, what is this?
Yeah, when you think of it like a Delta, just like a French press.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but it's just a bit smaller and it's, you know, made of like a really flexible, durable plastic rather than like maybe glass or something like that. It's a lot easier to understand. I was definitely intimidated by the AeroPress at first. I don't know why. Yeah. It's kind of just looks like, what am I doing with this thing?
Like, where do you begin? Sort of thing. But I mean, you can even like just literally like not even use the syringe part. You can just have the part that the filter attaches to, and literally
I call it the chamber.
The chamber, yeah. Just sit that on top of a cup, let water slowly pour through the coffee grounds and through the filter, and you know you've got like. I would sort of tend to say that that's more of like a lighter brew because you're going to have coarser coffee.
Yeah.
And it'll sort of come through. So that's a really easy brew method.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, best thing to do, if you're really not sure with AeroPress, jump onto YouTube. There are heaps of examples of how to brew it.
I think there's like millions of recipes for AeroPress. Yeah. There's a whole AeroPress championships.
Yeah. You
know, all that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
there's plenty of support online and even probably friends too. If you have a friend who's, you know, into coffee and into specialty coffee or brews at home, chances are they're going to probably know how to use an AeroPress.
Yep.
So you can always reach out. Feel free to hit us up if you ever have any questions with brewing methods.
Yeah. Those are definitely the most cost-effective ways.
Cool. I would say under $40 to get started with those.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, once you've made that first initial investment, all it is just buying beans after that.
Yeah.
Because you can get your local cafe or barista to grind the coffee for you if they've got a deli grinder there. Ideally, you don't want to get it ground beforehand. You want to grind on demand every time because you want to get that, like the coffee oxidizes once it's ground.
Yep.
I mean, it oxidizes anyway, but when you've ground it up, there's more chance of oxidization because it's such smaller particles.
Yep.
But that's it.
Much of a muchness when you're starting out. Absolutely. As long as if you're going to a cafe and you're searching for some nice beans and they can grind them for you and, you know, you keep them for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. And it's going to be better than, you know, anything you're going to grab at your local supermarket necessarily or absolutely. Something like that.
Yeah. Cause that's been probably pre-ground for about,
it's probably been pre-ground for like 6 months to 6 years.
Yeah. So
yeah, anything like that is a great option to start off with. And when you really get into it a little bit more, you might want to grab a grinder, either a hand grinder or an electric grinder.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like a down the track thing.
Absolutely.
A lot of my friends even who are really into coffee don't have a grinder. And that's just the way they prefer to travel because they prefer to jump up and have more fun making the coffee than having to do the whole process.
Yep.
And that's totally fine. Works for them.
And it's easy. You know, you don't have to worry. Like you've taken that variable out and you can let someone else sort of worry
exactly.
about that. So you just go home, fill it up, brew coffee, away you go.
Cool.
Easy.
And okay, cool. So French press and AeroPress, I agree. Great methods to start off with, both under, you know, $50. Let's say $50 is a great starting point for that. And then what are some other ways that you can start brewing it at home, maybe without some equipment even? I know like Brill would be a great option. Yeah. If you could touch on that and some other options like the parachutes that I've seen from Single O,
yep,
and stuff like that.
I mean, that's exactly right. You've got, you know, instant specialty coffee, which they've literally, you know, like what we've done with Brill, we've taken out that, I guess, process.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brill's in itself is a brewing method. You don't have to worry. All you need is just, you know, a cup, teaspoon, hot water,
yep,
and milk of your choice. That's as simple as it is. Same with these parachutes as well. They come in like a individual packet where it's like this paper sort of, it looks very similar to like a parachute style thing. You open yeah, it up and it sits on top of the cup and it's like a pour over.
Yeah, it's a pour over yeah, drip bag sort of thing that is all in one and yep, pre-packaged. And I think the way they did it, I jumped on like a Instagram live where they were, Single O were talking with the guys in Japan about it, and I think they use nitrous to flush the bags out of all of the oxygen.
Yeah, okay.
So it can actually stay fresh in there for yeah, a couple of months. And that way it just helps it, even though it is ground coffee, it's actually been sealed really well and got a lot of that
yeah,
oxygen out to, you know, prevent that oxidization, was it?
Yeah, oxidization, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, to be honest as well, pods. Pods are very similar in
yeah,
that sense.
Yeah, pods are
well,
also an option.
There are some great pods coming out.
Yeah.
Like, I know Industry Beans have got an Ethiopian Asasala is one of their pods wow, coming up, which is like, that coffee is like top tier high quality coffee.
Yeah.
And now you can get in a pod. Like, you just push a button, bang, extracted coffee. Like,
yep.
You know, it's the same as instant specialty coffee. You just, it's already done for you.
Yep.
All you're doing is just moving liquid through it to dissolve it.
That's like, it. That's, yeah.
That's it.
I think like pods in themselves have become, you know, they can be quite taboo really in the specialty coffee side of things because of maybe the coffee that it's associated with, but the brewing method product itself and the waste yeah, yeah, that can be massive. But when you know, you're using like compostable or recycled plastics for the actual pods themselves and then putting good like high grade coffee in them from a specialty coffee roaster who really cares about their product, really the pod is actually just a brewing method.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's so easy, yeah, simple.
If you've already got one at home, which is also a lot of people do, just like yep, the French press, you've got one in the family home or your friend might have one that they can lend you or something like that, then yeah, the best step would be to just go out and search for some good pods.
Yeah, go into your parents' place or something like that.
Yep.
They've got a, you know that they've got a pod machine.
Pocket some pods on the
that's
way.
It. Yeah, yeah. They yep, can drink the shitty, you know, what's it called? And then you whip out your little specialty coffee yep, pods and bang, you've got some delicious coffee.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So that's cool. So there's instant, there's French press, AeroPress, yeah, even some specialty coffee pods. Your parachutes. Is there anything else I guess we should mention on getting
like, look,
started with it?
Like, to be honest, V60.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. If you've got the coffee already ground for you, all you do is just put it into the paper filter, into the like cone piece device that a V60 is. Wet the filter paper, put the coffee in, literally pour the water over the top. Like, you can do that and still, you know, make a cup of coffee at home.
Yeah, you like get started that way.
Purist techniques where people go, no, you need to, you know, bloom it for this, agitate that, do all that sort of stuff. But we're talking like bare basics. You just want access to an easy brew method at home. Pour over is super simple.
Yeah,
you
yeah, just put when it comes in, down to the essence
pour
of it.
Pour over the top of it.
And it's cool because I found personally with V60, I loved that as one of my first sort of specialty coffee brew methods at home. Because I could get really nerdy and technical about it when I wanted to, but like I didn't have to all the time. But yeah, I find that one, if you want to step it up a little bit more from those basic ones and explore it a little bit more and maybe even start buying a little bit more equipment like your kettle,
yeah,
like your gooseneck or
like to kettle, control that pouring,
yeah, control that
so
pouring,
not just flogging out of the top of a big fat spout.
Get some scales
and
as
you're
well,
spilling it everywhere and doing that sort of stuff. But yeah, that, I mean, that's it. And you know, I definitely think that that brew method is relatively simply put.
Yeah.
And again, jump onto a YouTube or ask your local barista what their recipe is.
Yeah.
If they don't tell you, that's a silly secret they should be telling you, because like a recipe of how to brew a coffee is like bizarre if people are holding that away.
Exactly.
From you. But, you know, you should be sharing. Sharing's caring.
Sharing is caring.
Shared brewing.
Shared brewing. We love it.
I've got no secrets. I won't that's tell you it. How we do Brill, but well, that's intellectual property right there.
Well, we found the line there.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. Line in the sand.
So are there any other accessories as well that we can maybe touch on that as you get more into specialty coffee, you might want to have a look at?
But like a more sort of advanced sort of style? Yeah, yeah. Or like advancing those brewing methods?
Yeah, like I guess scales, kettle, we mentioned those ones.
Scales, kettle. I mean, kettle, like, yeah, you want to easily controlled like flow from the water just because you don't make like a mess and it just doesn't sort of like gush out pretty quickly. So yeah, scales, grinder, kettle. I think that like scales,
they're the staple three.
Scales are really important, mainly because it is like scales are super accessible. Just a lot of people have got kitchen scales. Digital scales are ideal. You don't want one of those analog, you know, needle scales.
A digital kitchen scales,
even
you
just
know,
to a gram.
Yeah,
doesn't have to be 0.1 gram, whatever. Just to a gram, you can then create consistency in your cup that way because you can measure the coffee, measure the yield. Like so, that's the actual extracted coffee, the liquid in the cup, and then you know you can start to sort of go, what if I put in an extra gram of coffee and kept the same amount of water? What if I put less coffee, same amount of water? What if I, you know, you can start to really, you know, change those, I guess, variables and you can see the flavor profiles change and you can get more sweeter, more sort of like bold, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, as soon as you've got the scales there and a bit more control even in the water or maybe the way you're pouring, you can start to feel those variables and try them out. Again, always keep a notepad.
That's
probably another really great accessory.
Notepad.
Costs
notepad.
Nothing. You know, we've probably got plenty of paper around. Just a pen and paper.
Yeah.
Grab an old receipt. I usually grab a receipt. Yeah.
Put it in your notes. Your smartphone. Just put in your notes and then like that's it. And you can put a date on it and go, yep, I made this yesterday. And then just work from there. And like you'll start to build confidence at home doing that. And there is so much content that you can just watch, consume and start to really, you know, brew some epic coffee at home and you don't have to be a professional.
And don't get discouraged if you're not making what you hope to be making straight away. A lot of my friends, myself included though, I've had quite low moments where I'm like, man, I can't make anything good here, but you know, you got to just persist. Try again tomorrow, try again later, whatever. It's not the end of the world. It's just making a coffee, like, you know, nothing's riding on it.
That's it.
Have some fun with it.
Yeah. And like, you know, you might go, oh no, I, you know, didn't start the time on the scales or something like that. I didn't start my brewing time. Because that's also another thing that you should start
timing.
Like recording your time. So as soon as you start brewing, you want to time it, that sort of thing. Because obviously you want to like, you know, keep track of that.
Yep.
You know, you're like, oh, I didn't turn the scales on.
Yep. I've done that so many times.
You just wing it. And then, you know, like everyone's done it.
Yep. I always forget to start the timer when we're doing those live videos for a while. I was like live on camera.
I'm like,
all right, guys, here's how you make a V60.
Don't show the scales.
Start pouring. And then I'm like, I didn't start the timer. And I'm like 30 or 40 seconds in. I don't know.
Counting in your head while you're talking to someone.
Yeah, well, like, I'm trying to talk on camera. It's pretty funny.
But yeah,
we
like,
all do it.
I mean, and that's it. And like you will start to, like within like weeks, if you're doing one every day, you can start to really nail it. And then you can start to share those, I guess, brew methods and, you know, talking points with your friends who also brew like that at home and, you know.
Yeah, get them around. Compare, take your stuff over to their place.
Absolutely.
And, whip up a coffee. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Have a crack. It makes you feel a lot better when you have that achievement of trying it in front of people as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So it's definitely very accessible. And, you know, once you sort of do start to really nail that, I guess, those, like, I guess, less space-consuming brew methods, like plunger, straight in the cupboard.
Yeah.
You know, espresso machine takes up a bit on the bench, but, you know, you've usually got a spot for that.
Yeah.
But, like, you can start looking down at, like, you know, if instead of making one cup for, you know, your V60, you can start looking at getting a Mocha Master or something like that, where it's a bigger batch brew method.
Yep, similar to what you might make out of a V60 or something, but
same concept.
A liter at a time over. Rather than 200 mils.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah, same concept. It's a pour over, so you're pouring water over the top of the coffee.
Yeah.
You know, like all of these are very like Chemex V60.
They're all pour over methods. Yeah. The parachutes as well.
Yep. So you've got, you know, like Mocha Master's great because you literally grind your coffee, put it into the like filter section with the paper filter, and you just turn it on.
Yeah.
And goes. You can agitate it and do little like...
It heats the water, it drips it on at a steady rate, and then you've got a valve there you can open and close if you want to.
If you want
to do like a little bit of a pre-infusion.
Exactly. That's it.
But otherwise, you could leave that open, just walk away, and if come back, and you've got some sick coffee.
If you've got some really high-quality coffee, you'll have a cup that you can enjoy. You know, like it doesn't have to... Yeah. If you're at home and you're just wanting like a nice tasty coffee and you don't want to just drink anything rubbish, that like if you've got good quality beans, you're generally going to get a pretty decent cup.
Cool. Well, let's talk about the beans for a second.
Yeah.
So you're, you're ready to brew. You've got your brew equipment. Maybe you've got an AeroPress or something like that.
You've whipped out mum and dad's old French press.
You've whipped out the French press. You've dusted it off. You've thrown it in the dishwasher or something. And you're ready to go, but you need some good quality beans. Now, what are we actually shopping for when we go to a really good cafe? You know, they've got some nice specialty coffee. You've heard good things, or you're a regular there buying takeaways or, you know, dining in, and you want to pick yourself up some beans. Now, what are we looking for when we get there?
Okay, so I think with the reason why AeroPress and French press are great brewing methods is that you don't have to use a specific roast profile for those. Like there's no right or wrong. Like you can brew them to the roasted coffee and actually get like a really nice flavor profile based on espresso roast or filter roast.
Okay.
So they're the different sort of roast types for
coffee. Yeah, break that down for us real quick.
So pretty much when you're roasting coffee, you're developing the coffee. So once it's filter roast, it's not as developed as espresso roast. So when you're brewing filter roast, you tend to want to, you know, have it under a high temperature of water for a long period of time. So you really get those really nice sort of like, I guess like fruity flavors. While espresso roast, you get more sort of like bold, it's why like blends are made for espresso because a lot of them go with milk. So you want like a coffee where it's got like some nice base flavors, like, you know, like something like a Brazilian coffee will do really well in that sense. In a blend, it'll create like the chocolates, like almond, like that sort of like bassy sort of flavors.
I find like the nutty flavors, the chocolatey flavors often come through way better on the espresso side.
Yep.
So is the filter roast side a lot lighter?
You get that's probably the best way to describe it. You get those lighter flavors, like fruits, like stone fruits, you get like berries,
floral flavors.
You can still get chocolates and things like that, those sorts of flavor profiles. But the lighter roast lighter roast, filter roast tends to bring out those lighter notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So for something like a French press, we don't have to worry too much between filter and espresso?
I mean, if you go to a specialty coffee roastery, generally their espresso roast is going to be lighter than your typical...
That is true. Yeah. I have found with a lot of the specialty coffee places I go to, in Australia at least, They have a lot more lighter roast on the espresso side, and then a lot more of the, I guess, the mainstream coffee places tend to be a darker roast. What I've found. And that can be a little bit of a challenge when you're bringing someone over into that specialty coffee world, because they might want, I want a stronger, darker roast coffee. But
that's it.
You know, it's that light coffee. It's not that, it's just different, basically. Yeah. It's an adjustment period. But that's good to know that when the specialty coffee side, you know, you can't go wrong with either too much. So don't like stress too much. But obviously, there is those filter and espresso for a reason. So would you tend more, I tend more to the filter side when I'm going something like an AeroPress. And then, of course, when you're going into your pour overs like the Mocha Master or the V60 or Kalita Wave, anything like that.
Pretty much all those manual brewing methods, you want to tend to aim for the filter roasts.
Yeah.
However, always ask your barista.
Just ask the barista.
At local cafe. Yep. Yeah, just be like, what do you recommend?
Yeah.
They usually have a recommendation. Yep. They should have a recommendation. If they don't, then maybe ask another barista. But I think that's the best way to apply it. Talk to your cafe, ask them, tell them your brewing method. What do they recommend? They'll usually recommend you a coffee that they're really liking too.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, look, this one tastes, you know, apricots and, you know, slight chocolatey orange notes, while this one here is your typical like natural Ethiopian where it's real funky. You've got some real like blueberries and like, you know, berry flavors coming through. It's quite lighter. Like you know, and then you kind of go, oh, okay, I like chocolates and, you know, orange and stone fruits. So yep. Let's go for that coffee. So I definitely think first thing, talk to the cafe that you buy your beans from or your roastery, your local roastery. And then that's probably the best way to go for. But with French press, AeroPress, you can use either raw espresso or filter. It more comes down to a preference thing.
Cool.
So give it a crack. Just try.
Just, yeah, chat to your barista. Get some fresh coffee. I like to recommend, you know, getting coffee that's between 1 week after roast date through maybe I'd say 3 weeks. Yeah,
seven days post-roast is a good...
That's good way to start. Yeah, yep.
For a lot of roasteries, a lot of different roast profiles, I think 7 days is a good place to start. Sometimes even 14 days post-roast, it really starts to open up the coffee and you can get some amazing, clean, crisp flavors. If it's too fresh, you get those sort of grassy. It's like kind of like eating an unripe fruit.
Yeah.
You know, you like if you eat a unripe banana, it's got that chalkiness. It's very similar to coffee.
Okay.
You can get those like powdery notes in your mouth. That's if it's like, say, 1 to 2, 3 days post-roast.
Yeah.
Definitely aim for that 7 days. And then
7 days through to, I think about 3 weeks is a good point. Obviously, if it's a bit older than that, don't stress, but that's filter just a
coffee,
sweet spot.
Yeah, yep. Filter coffee as well. Like, you know, some of the filter coffees that I've had my cupboard for like 2 months and I whip them out and I'm like, they're still delicious.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we're about to wrap up pretty soon, but I thought let's go through a quick recipe, like maybe just a favorite one of yours of any of those brew methods that we can recommend to people to start at home with. Do you want to maybe run through a French press or?
French press I haven't made in a while. So I'd probably aim for more sort of like, I've got a pretty decent like AeroPress method.
Yeah, cool. Run us through your AeroPress method. That'd be great.
It's very similar to a V60. I guess dosage, like you want to like say, like just start off at 15 grams. I think usually if you got pre-ground coffee and you've just got the plastic spoon that comes with the AeroPress, that usually holds around 15, 16 grams.
That's what I found.
So just level one of those bad boys out. Mm-hmm. Obviously all coffees are different because of the, like just the actual structure of the coffee. Ones might seem less, but they're the same weight, which is why it comes down to scales is really important. But just a level scoop into the AeroPress, fill up to the 4 on the AeroPress. You can just pretty much just pour straight in, give it a good agitate because you want to make sure that the water saturates all the grinds.
Okay.
Because then you're evenly extracting the coffee flavors out of those like ground up coffee. Yeah. 2 minutes, flip it onto a cup, press it down, away you go.
Bob's
and you
uncle.
Want it sort of to be that sort of, if you're grinding at home with a grinder, you want it to be sort of like that kind of, you know, fairly granularly, like almost like cracked pepper sort of stuff.
Yep. Cool.
What about you?
Do you know what's really funny? Yeah. Is that I was going to actually recommend an AeroPress recipe.
There you go.
And it was very similar to that.
Yeah.
Pretty much exactly.
Like that's a really basic way of making it. And you get a really nice cup.
And because I had someone message me just the other day and they said, I don't have a scales, just got an AeroPress.
Yep.
Can you fire off like a quick recipe to recommend on how to whip up a good cup? And that's exactly what I said. Level teaspoon or level scoop that comes with it.
Yep.
Of like what a medium grind coffee.
Yeah.
Fill it up to that 4 mark and leave it for 2 minutes and you're good to go.
Get a spoon in there, agitate it all.
Like that is so simple.
Yeah.
Like it's super simple. So super simple. Yeah, love it.
Cool.
Well, let's finish up here.
Yeah.
But first off, I just want to ask as well and maybe introduce a new little thing at the end of each episode. We chat about a coffee that we've had in the last week that we really enjoyed. And we actually had a really nice one just this morning. So it was a Colombian coffee from Pastime Roasters.
60-hour maceration.
60-hour maceration. Amazing, was the process.
And that coffee tastes like an apricot. It is insane. You open the bag, amazing, beautiful coffee. It's one of those like wow factor coffees.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Let us know about your epic experiences. Send us a DM.
What have you been enjoying in the last week or so?
Absolutely.
Love to hear it. Love to hear about how you guys are brewing at home. And we're going to keep enjoying especially coffee every day. And
we're probably going to have another coffee after
this. We're going to make another coffee after this. So sorry, we're going to have to leave you because we need some more coffee.
Yeah. See you again.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Cheers.